Hi, friends. Welcome to the Mobile Bev Pros podcast, a podcast dedicated to providing mobile bar and event professionals with the information they need to succeed. I'm your host, business coach, and founder of the Mobile Bar Academy, Sarah Murphy. In each episode, the Mobile Bev Pros team will bring you industry experts, information, anecdotes, and opinions with the goal of assisting you in building a profitable, sustainable, and successful business that supports you in creating wealth. I'm excited to share with you today's episode, so let's get started. Today, I want to talk about a theme that we see oftentimes in our group program. And we see it in our group program mostly because we get to work more intimately with people through the process. Obviously, in the academy, we have Q&As, and I get to hear people ask questions about this topic, but I don't really get to experience and be a fly on the wall for the full process and the full transition. One of the first things that we do is we go through people's pricing, because it's important that we have people priced appropriately for all of the work that comes next, which includes marketing, messaging, positioning, branding, all of that good stuff. But we have to start with price, because we have to start with, are you making enough money to make this even worth your time? And most of the time when people get into the group program, they are established. So they have a business. They already have pricing. They already have packaging. They already have messaging, a website. They oftentimes already have all those things. Not always. We get a number of people that just get started and they want to start correctly and they want to do all the things right the first time. But those people that come into the program and they already have all of their business essentials, and we do pricing reviews, 9 times out of 10, what we realize is that they are not charging enough to be making enough money in this business to make it worthwhile. And sometimes we do the math and they're actually making negative money, and that's the worst case scenario. But more often than not, they're making just enough money to feel like what they're doing is working until they get that tax bill at the end of the year. And they're like, wait a second, how did this happen? How did I make no monies? Where did all the money go? So we start by doing a pricing analysis. And oftentimes we find that they have to raise their prices. And it becomes this, there's no way people are going to pay me that much, which we can work through. We're like, absolutely, there are people out there paying that much money. The next thing that happens is much more subtle. And oftentimes it'll take a week more, maybe even a month, before we start to see symptoms of this. And this is where they raise their prices. They put those prices on their website and in their proposals. And then they come back in to the Telegram or to the Q&A call and they say, Sarah, I tried it your way and my bookings have gone down and this is not working. I need to go back to the way that things were. And to that, we have to have the conversation around the fact that there's a transition period, because the people you were talking to before were the people that were going to pay or were more willing to pay your other prices. And the people that are going to pay your new prices are often, not always, there are always some people that are willing to stretch up a little bit, right? But there are fewer people that listen to your old messaging, listen to your old positioning, resonated with your old branding and packaging. And now we need a different clientele. There's a ramp there. There's a time period in which they don't know you exist yet, those new clients that are willing to pay those higher prices. And what happens when we ask people to kind of shift into that new realm is there's a whole lot of discomfort and resistance. That's what we want to talk about today, is that period where you know you need to make more money and you know that you need to, or you already have raised your prices, but now you're hearing crickets and some of the pushback and the resistance that we see and how to approach that.
Yeah, we just saw this in the Telegram, to your point. We see it regularly, but we recently saw this where someone is elevating their client base, their target audience, and they're incredibly uncomfortable because they have these crickets. And while it can be incredibly uncomfortable to do any new thing, the alternative is that you stay where you are. Right? They get to that point where they're like, oh, well, Sarah's way isn't working. Raising my prices and elevating my client experience, it's not resonating with my current audience. I'll just default to what I know. And that's the downside of comfort, right? We default to what we know. And so while it might be uncomfortable to elevate in any area of your life, it's the only way you're going to start seeing profit and be running a successful business. And so you kind of have to gauge, like, which discomfort do you want to go with? The discomfort of getting to the end of the year and having no money, or the discomfort of that, like, transitional period where you're not getting as many inquiries because you're not resonating with the budget audience anymore.
Yeah. And the logic brain knows this, right? And that's why we can have the conversations and they're like, yeah, obviously that's the way I want to go. I want to make more money because that's why I'm doing this, is so that I can leave my job or I can build financial wealth or whatever it is. The logic brain understands it. And then we get resistance from the emotional and subconscious parts of us, because we ask people to raise their prices and show up in an elevated way. And then they have to enter into the same rooms that they were in a week ago with lower prices and potentially a marketing and messaging that was already established with this group. So they understood who you are, what you do, and how you serve. And now you're saying, actually, this is who I am now. And this is how I'm showing up within my business now. And that's where the fear kicks in, because there's this sense of, how dare they? Or there's a fear that people are going to react in that way. How dare they raise their prices? How dare they show up as a premium brand when 2 weeks ago they were a staffing agency, essentially, right? And oftentimes our business is a projection of who we are. And so we ask our business to level up, and then we turn around and are like, oh shit, that means I have to level up. That means I have to be that person and that business that can execute at this higher level, who can charge and justify this higher price point. And now I need to walk into these rooms and tell people that's who I am, but I'm only that because my business says I need to be that in order to make this sort of money. And so there's this gap in who we are and who we have been and who we want to be in order to generate results that are aligned with what it is that we want out of our business. And that's where it gets really uncomfortable for people.
And this comes down to the nervous system and its reaction to quote unquote inauthenticity. What I want you to know about authenticity is that it's also made up. It's also made up. It's a compilation of stories and patterns that were most often, unless you've done the inner work, given to you. They're not even yours. You see money very much in a similar way to the way your parents see money until you break that pattern. You interact with people the way that your small town told you was acceptable until you break that pattern, right? But those patterns weren't really you either. They were just adopted. And so they become, again, to your point, you identify with them and you think that's who I am. And so then it's uncomfortable for you to shift into who you would like to be. Just having that understanding can help you with some of the anxiety. You might still have sweaty palms in the room when you go to a new networking event or an old networking event with old faces and you're showing up as a new person. But giving yourself the permission to grow and change and recognizing that those stories and patterns were not ever yours anyway, I think that can be helpful.
I love how you put that, because we learn who we are as individuals by the reflection that's given to us by others. Oh, you're so smart. Oh, you're so funny. Oh, you're so creative. You're so good at this thing. Oh, you're not very good at this thing. This isn't your strong suit. Right. And so we lean towards the things that people tell us about ourselves that are good, and we avoid the things that people tell us about ourselves that aren't very good. And then we become a person. And then we start a business, and that business becomes an extension of who we are as a person. So the business shares our values. Brand colors are usually our favorite colors, and it becomes an extension of ourselves outside of ourselves. So then, when we look at that business and say, hey, it's not enough for you just to make $50,000 a year any longer, because that's not enough for us to live off of. We want you to make $200,000 or $500,000 a year. And the business is like, cool, show me how, right? That's looking at you deadpan in your eyeballs. And you're like, okay, I'm that now. Okay, let me show you. I'm going to walk into this room. And I'm going to talk to the same people that I've always been talking to at $50,000 self and tell them now I'm $500,000 self. And there's like all of this inside stuff that comes up because they already know you. They already have stories about who you are and they've already established who you are. And this is very personal to me at this moment because today I have a networking event. It's a 3-hour networking event for International Women's Day. Yay, us. We celebrate us, but honestly, like we've been running this shit the whole time. So, like, thank you for the recognition. But, anyways, I'm going to this event and I'm going to be meeting people who knew me as a bartender, right? And now I'm a business coach. For me, it feels uncomfortable because my inner critic is coming up and saying, these people all know you as the bartender, and you have the audacity to come in here and say that you can help them with their business, which is not what I'm going to do. Because, go back a couple episodes and we talk about networking and how to actually show up in networking scenarios. And I'm not going to walk in there and say, like, I can help you with your business. But I'm going to introduce myself as a business coach and educator because that's what I am. It's what I do. It's how I pay my bills. It's how I show up in the world these days. But they know me as a bartender. And so my inner critic is very nervous about this. But here's the thing that I want everyone to know. And this is how I'm getting myself through it. Because if you have raised your prices and you've decided that you are a different company now and you need to show up in a different way in order to succeed within your business. And John said this actually on that networking episode. Everybody in there wants to see you succeed. Even if they are going to judge you in their head, we don't watch movies to watch the main character fall on their face and then stay there, right? We love a good comeback. We love a good comeback. So even if they're going to be like, oh, who does she think she is? When you stand in your power and you stay in your power and you are now that bar company that charges what they would see as an insane amount of money when you used to be absolutely affordable and reasonable. They want to see that work because then they know, oh, that's available for me. I can do that too.
I saw a TikTok not too long ago, and I may have shared it with you, or maybe you shared it with me, but someone asked, how do you stop caring what people think about you? And this wonderful person comes on and says, you know, I started realizing that much of what I thought people were thinking of me was actually my own inner critic being projected on other people, and that they didn't actually think those things about me. They were just my projection of my own mean girl inside my head. And then I realized that they were probably just as terrified as I was because their inner critic was being projected onto me. And so now I move through the world and assume that people want to see me succeed and that people are nice. And they said, and that's how people show up. And if they don't, then that's a them thing. And I recognize that person's being really mean to themselves. And that's showing up in their world and they're projecting it out onto others. And I thought that was the most healing thing to hear. Whatever it is you think other people are thinking of you doesn't mean anything about what they're actually thinking of. You are not a mind reader. You have no idea what they're thinking of you. And if you think that you do, it's more than likely your parents in your head, right? Or your first grade teacher that said you weren't very good at the monkey bars, whatever it is, like you're projecting that out.
Absolutely. Anyone listening who has not watched Ted Lasso, do yourself a favor and watch that show. Don, you need to watch Ted Lasso too. Anyways, there's this one scene. Every scene is applicable to something in life, but there's this one scene where Rebecca, who is played by Hannah Wingham or something, I think is her last name. I totally butchered that. But anyways, her name is Rebecca in the show, and she is the only female owner of a football club in the UK. And she has to go into this room full of misogynistic old white dudes. And there's a whole scene where someone's asking her, like, how do you do it? How do you do it? And she does this thing where she like leans over and she takes a big breath and she puts her arms up and she makes herself as big as possible. And she like growls like a grizzly. And she does that a few times, showing this person as to like how she walks in the room and how she makes herself big energetically so that she can walk into those rooms with confidence. And I've always loved that scene. The minute I saw that, I was like, what a powerful technique. And it was cute and like fun in that scene. Then seasons later, we see her do it. like not as a demonstration, but to literally like amp herself up to walk into this room. And whether or not you decide to growl like a grizzly bear before you walk into rooms or before you do things that are absolutely scary, energetically practice that, because we allow ourselves energetically to be small. And that is something that society just does to us, because we are supposed to conform. We're supposed to be digestible. We're supposed to be agreeable. We're supposed to be a part of the community. And that is great. And that is valuable. And that keeps us alive. And we are able to have friends and be parts of communities because of these tendencies. But that is not going to serve us when we want to walk into a room or we want to do a thing that requires us to show up differently than we've always shown up before. So the very first thing that I encourage people to do is give themselves permission to be big energetically and potentially physically, if you want to put your arms up and expand the space that you take up in a room, and then sit with that, right? Just allow yourself to be big and then walk in that room. I fully plan to do that before I walk into this networking event today. Maybe not the full grizzly bear, but to run through the mental exercise of saying you're allowed to be big. And people want to see you win. And if I show up in that room the way that I've always showed up in that room, I will get what I've always gotten out of that room. And I can't. I have to ask myself to be bigger because my dreams are bigger than who I am currently and who I was before. The obligations that we have to ourselves and our business require us to take up more space. And in order to do that, we have to reintroduce ourselves to the same market, the same amplifiers, the same rooms as someone who is bigger and more audacious than they were before in order to ask for higher prices. And some people are going to double their prices tomorrow and no one's going to bat an eye. And that's amazing for them. That's not typically what we see. What we see is people increase their rates, then they put their rates out there, then they get crickets. And then they're like, see, I told you I couldn't get these higher rates. And then we have to be like, nope, you can. You just are talking to the wrong people. You have to talk to this subset of people over here who have not been resonating with your message prior, because that's not who you were aiming for. And that lull that you experience between markets is terrifying. And it actually makes us feel smaller instead of encouraging us to be bigger. So, this has to be an intentional mindset shift when you change your rates or pivot into a new area altogether, like I did, or we have another member in our group program who is pivoting into event design. And she feels absolutely unqualified to do those things, even though she's the most qualified to do those things, because she's like, everyone already knows me as the bar company. And so now you have to be like, I also do that, but I do this. And that's scary. And your subconscious is going to tell you to stay put. As you said, like comfort is definitely what our nervous system wants at all times. And we have to do it scared.
A great analogy for this is one of my favorite movies, Onward on Disney. This is a chasm moment, and there's no bridge in front of you. There's no clear pathway. And if you've seen that movie, there's a moment where he has to cross this chasm and he has to trust his magic because there's no bridge. And his brother like ties a rope around his waist as like a security. Right. And I say that with quotation marks. And so he crosses this chasm. He gets almost to the end. He's celebrating. He's so excited. And the rope falls off. Well, he doesn't notice, but his brother notices on the other end of the chasm. And his brother's like, oh, yeah, you're doing great, buddy. Keep going. And at the very last moment, the kid turns around and sees that the rope is gone and he falls. And that's trust. The truth is, he never needed the rope. He crossed it regardless. But the second he thought he needed the rope and he realized it was gone, he fell. And so, what we see with people coming in is that they have to elevate many avenues of their business and of themselves after they do that math. And having a group program like the accelerator to hold you when you're moving across this chasm is invaluable because. Doing it alone, there's a really good chance you just decide not to cross the chasm. No one's pushing you. No one's reminding you of your greatness. It still feels really scary, but you got to do it anyway. And so you might as well do it with support and people that believe in you.
One of the things that people don't have when they're doing something for the first time is proof in their field that it'll work. And what we're able to offer that, in that we've seen it happen so many times, that we get to hold that higher version of themselves and their business and reflect that part back to them. Yes, this is possible. Yes, we've seen it done. This is a common way to feel. And you're not alone in that, but we are the ones that are cheering you on across the chasm. Like, you can do this. You're almost there. Look at you go. You're so great. And entrepreneurship can be really lonely. And so the small wins that people have in their business go uncelebrated, even oftentimes by them, because they're like, who would I share this with? This feels like a big deal to me, but I don't have anyone that will understand how big a deal that is. And we get to be that for them, right? And, or oftentimes we are celebrating wins that they don't even realize that they have, because they're so busy, you know, doing the thing that they don't remember. Oh yeah, that's right. This was a conversation we had 3 months ago that I never even thought was possible. And here we are experiencing this outcome. And I think the chasm example is the perfect example of that, where you have a goal. You don't think it's possible. We encourage you to do that thing. And you trust us and you just walk across the chasm and hopefully not fall.
We are both reading The Luxury Strategy right now. In that book, he talks about how price doesn't make a luxury product, right? Luxury sets the price, not vice versa. That's the other advantage of having people to hold you and support you, because simply going out, you listen to this podcast, you're like, ah, I get it. I'm in the academy. I'll run through the pricing modules. I'll do the math and I'll raise my prices. Cool. But you're not a luxury product yet. And so now your pricing is out of alignment with the client experience that you're here to uphold, right? And so you want your prices to be reflective of the client experience. And so this is what's great about the business reviews or having Sarah in your back pocket on Telegram, is that you can come in with your branding and say, now we've elevated your prices, we are going to elevate the rest of your business so that your prices are justified. And so that when people go to your website, it is irresistible and they're willing to pay those prices. We're going to make sure that your messaging is in alignment so that you're speaking to the correct audience and you're speaking to them correctly. And then we're going to make sure that your website, your social medias, and your overall client journey reflect these new prices that you have to embody in order for you to become a profitable or insanely profitable business.
Yeah, I think that's one of the bigger sticking points, is where people raise their prices. They know they have to. Otherwise, like, why do what we do for no money? And then if they don't also elevate the experience elsewhere in their business, there becomes a disconnect between their new ideal client and the conversation that's being had. And that comes down to client, again, not to harp on client experience, but that's the hill we live on right now. But essentially what we see is that raising the prices isn't enough, because that doesn't communicate value. To your point, pricing does not communicate value. And so if you're trying to communicate the value of your pricing, that looks like using words and images. Those are the tools that we have available to us to communicate with your new ideal client the experience of what you're offering. Once you get outside of being a commodity, which is, I need a licensed bartender because my venue requires it, to, I'm looking for a bar service that adds and enhances to this experience of the event, whether it's a corporate event, a wedding, a birthday party. The difference, that jump between being a commodity and being an experienced vendor, is where the value is. And so if you've been communicating a budget or a value service, and we see this a lot, and we see this where we're staffing, we're licensed, we're insured, we're professional, that those are all budget descriptors. Like, that's the floor. Being all of those things is where you start. To be licensed, insured, professional, to show up on time, to do all things, that's the floor. Where people are willing to pay more is that experiential piece. And the experiential piece is the language of aspirations, of dreams. If you are going to demand or ask for top dollar as a vendor that does what we do, there has to be more than just cups, napkins, licensing, insurance, right? And that gap, that is the experience. And we can only communicate that in words and images. And so we need those words and those images to be updated on your website, on your Instagram feed, in your elevator pitch, your value proposition, your proposals, your emails, your lead funnel follow-ups. All of that needs to rise to the occasion of communicating that value. So the too long didn't read, long story short version of what we're trying to get at in today's episode is that if you've done the math on your business recently, because it's tax season, that's going to happen. If you've done the math on your business recently and you realize you need to increase your prices in order to keep doing what you're doing, and you do that and it becomes uncomfortable, maybe you hear crickets, maybe you start to feel imposter syndrome, maybe you feel like there's a missing piece and the other people are out there charging more than you, but you can't seem to pull them across the finish line, charging the same amount or even a little bit less. This particular episode might have keys for you. This friction might live in the fact that there is a gap in where you were and where you want to be. And we need to fill that gap with likely a new ideal client, new messaging, new imagery potentially, so that you can communicate the value that you have been bringing, potentially been bringing all along, but weren't positioning in a way that was getting you paid what you're worth.
Yeah, so it sounds like it boils down to a mindset problem or a client experience problem. Client experience being all those different touch points at which you are communicating your value. So if there are still seats available, which I don't know that there will be by the time that this podcast lands, but if there are still seats available, hop into the in-person workshop that we're doing in Nashville in May. You can reach out to us, hello@mobilebevpros.com, if you would like to secure one of those seats, or hop into the accelerator. It is virtual, and so no need to travel, and you'll have Sarah in your back pocket to help you move through all of these things, both the mindset and the client experience, as well as the pricing, packaging, and positioning issues. And so thanks so much, Sarah, for having me on. This has been an awesome episode. I look forward to talking to you again.
And that wraps up today's episode. I hope it was valuable. I would love to hear from you what you thought. You can drop me a line at hello@mobilebevpros.com or find me on Instagram at mobilebevpros. If you're looking for more valuable mobile bar related content, we have a website full of it. You can find us at www.mobilebevpros.com. And I'd love to see you in our Facebook community, also by the name of, you guessed it, Mobile Bev Pros. Thank you for joining me today. And until next time, cheers.